salesman is, but I would like to call the, why can't say that. I'd like to call the May 18th meeting to order, and can we get a roll call?
Certainly. Director Lee?
Present.
Director Salzman currently shows as absent. I will note when he joins the meeting in the minutes. Director Young?
Present.
Vice President Simon?
Here.
Thank you. And President Duncan?
Present. I do. Now for the Pledge of Allegiance. And can I get Jimmy Dang to say it for us? And Sheila has the the flag for us.
Sure. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, now we will continue. There's no general public, and now present, I don't see any. So now can we get a motion to approve the consent calendar?
Director Young, I will move the consent calendar items 5.1, 5.2, and 5.3.
And I second.
Thank you. It's been moved and second. Is there any discussion? Roll call.
President Duncan, I'm seeing Director Salzman has joined the meeting. If we want to just maybe give him 30 seconds to connect, and I can include him in the roll call vote, please.
Hello.
Hi, Director Salzman. I'm taking the roll call vote for the consent calendar.
Okay.
Not sure if Director Duncan, do you want to open it back up for questions?
Yes. I got a motion by Director Young. Second by Lee to approve the consent calendar. And I was at the discussion if there was any corrections on any of the reports in the consent calendar. And if not, I was going to do a roll call.
Okay. Director Lee?
Present. Yes.
It's okay.
That's a little brain fart.
It's okay. Director Stelzman?
Approve.
Director Young?
Aye.
Vice President Simon?
Yes.
And President Duncan?
Yes. So it's been unanimously approved, the consent calendar. Now we're on item six, new business. 6.1, accept project as complete and authorize the general manager to direct the filing of a notice of completion and pavement reconstruction and rehabilitation project. You want to tee it up for us?
Yeah, we had a $900,000 paving project. For those of you that have been down to the plant, it looks really good. And the plant is standing at attention. The project, maybe the story on this project is bids came in very low. We bid it at a really good time. We chose to add some additional work because the prices were so low. And so this was just a well-run project. It's part of a long-term pavement management plan that we're implementing. I definitely would give kudos to Jimmy Dang, who developed the plan, and then also Christopher Decker, who ran the project, did a really good job, communicated well throughout the project. You know, you got to have people move their cars and do different things and make sure that they're not impacted by the construction. And it was just well executed, and I think we got really good work out of this contractor.
Great. All of a sudden, I guess I already got a move to accept. Can I get a motion to accept the project as complete and authorize the general manager to direct the filing of a notice of completion for the plant pavement reconstruction and rehabilitation project?
Let's move this item. I'd like to move this item.
Can I get a second?
A second.
It's been moved in second. Any discussion? Okay, roll call.
Director Lee?
Aye.
Director Stelzman?
Approve.
Director Young? You're muted, but I see.
Aye. That was the yes.
Thank you. Vice President Simon?
Yes.
And President Duncan?
Yes, approved. It's been approved. Item 6.1. I was actually visualizing the plant when Jason was talking, and that's why I forgot my flow of the meeting. I see your hand is open. Director Simon.
Yeah, follow-up question on the plant paving project. When would you plan to do a surface reseal?
Yeah, I think on this project, almost the entire plant was done. And so, mm-hmm. Jimmy, can you comment on when that would be due next?
It'd be anywhere between 5 and 10 years.
And that's
we would be, we also base it on the condition of the pavement as well, because a lot of areas are not used as frequently as higher traffic areas. So it really does depend on how long it will last.
Okay. And do we have that budgeted in the future CIP?
Currently it's not in the 10 year.
Okay. Is that something we would pick up next time?
Definitely.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so we have approved it, haven't we? Okay, all right, so we'll flow off. So now for 6.2, authorizes general manager to proceed with securing grant funding on the horizontal levee demonstration project, subject to final board approval or reimbursement agreement. Jason, you...
Yeah, I think the board knows we have the horizontal levee demonstration. The original project fund, or we applied for a grant originally and got 3 years worth of research funded by outside sources. And then 2 years ago, we asked the board if the district would consider funding 2 more years worth of research. And the board at the time said, yes, we're okay doing that, but don't ask again and find somebody else to pay for it if we want to continue this. And so we started looking for sources, and basically we partnered with San Francisco Estuary Partnership to apply for a $1 million grant. We've received the signal that we awarded it. And so this is just a check-in point that we did receive it. And then there's still some paperwork to be done to draft a contract. Ultimately that contract would come before the board. And so the board would get another chance to say yay or nay, but this is kind of just a touch point where we're signaling we're going to start doing some paperwork unless the board says no, just cut this effort off, we don't want to accept this money and we want to kind of wind this effort down. So this is just a check-in point looking for some direction.
Okay, can I get a motion to move item 6.2?
I'm happy to move item 6.2.
Get a second.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved by Director Young and second by Director Stelzman. Discussion. I see your hand up, Director Stelzman.
Yeah, I'm just a little confused about the wording about the reimbursement agreement. Could you give Jason? Can you give us a little bit more detail about what that means?
So technically the grant is made to San Francisco, is awarded from the State Water Board to San Francisco Estuary Partnership. And then we have a sub agreement with SFEP to be reimbursed for our expenses. So the expectation is that we would both contract with UC Berkeley, that we would coordinate the contractor portion, and then we would also bill for our own time associated with this project. So we have a separate reimbursement with SFPP. Does that answer your question?
So in other words, the grant money doesn't come directly to us. We would have an expenditure out of Orlemo's coffers and then be reimbursed for those?
That is the mechanics, and that's how the other grants have worked as well.
I see. Yeah.
I saw your hand up, Director Lee.
Yes, I want to commend staff on seeking out additional funding sources. I'd like to know from this grant, typically when you have grants, you have other commitments. What other, are there any commitments that are tied to this grant?
The award notice came out, I think there was something like 77 people that were awarded money. We were the only one that received no match money. So this was 100, this is just, I think it technically is $988,000, but we don't have any other obligations other than to do this work. So this is really good money. Most of the time there's, it's either a loan or has a lot more strings attached. The state really wants to see this work done.
I commend the staff for the hard work on finding these source of fundings.
And so I have a question, Jason. So in the award letter, does it have any specific language directed to Oro Loma around it?
The proposal did. And, you know, it's very specific about what we're going to do with the site and who, you know, the research that we're going to conduct. But the award does go to SFEPE. The title of the project is something like Horizontal Levee 2.0 at Oro Loma. So on the award, it's like an agenda item in the state board's agenda package. It's not really an award letter. It's their draft board docket that we can is viewable to the public.
And so in a proposal, it just as you gave us a summary, it outlines what our action steps are in relationship to the proposal.
Absolutely, yes.
Did we see that?
I believe that we circulated like a 98% draft. So it wasn't the final, but we there was another check-in point with the board. And you know, from my perspective, I checked in to say, okay, we're going to put this application in. Is the board okay with it? And it was like, I'll just say there was a couple typos in it. But yes, they did.
Okay. The only reason that I'm question, not that I am disagreeing, and I think it's great. I'm glad that they think so highly of us and that we have a great relationship, but I'm just, you know, this, I'm just trying to fit this into the land use policy that we just received, just to see how the policy, how it would point to us making the decision on that. And that's all. I'm just trying to see how the policy, as I said, the land usage policy would go into play in this particular usage of our land. So that was the purpose of my question. So thank you. So are there any other questions? I see your hand up, Director Lee. Why don't I keep saying that? Director Simon.
Yeah, to follow up, Rita, on your comment about how does this fit into the land use policy, that's the draft. You know, we'll have discussion in the next item about it, but I do have concerns how this would fit into that land use policy. I don't think it fits. I don't know if you want to talk about this now. I mean, I do support this grant, so I'm not saying we shouldn't do this grant, but I do have concerns about the land use policy and how it fits with this and as well as other things. So okay. Would you like to wait to the land use policy to talk about it?
Yes, because I'd like to move this item on. Okay. But I was trying to justify my comments on why I was questioning Jason, and not that I'm not supporting the horizontal levy 2.0. So now we have had the discussion. Now can we have a roll call vote?
Certainly. Director Lee?
Aye.
Director Stelzman?
Approve.
Director Young?
Aye.
Vice President Simon?
Yes.
And President Duncan?
Yes. So it's been approved, and I'm excited, and makes me happy. So now we'll move on to item 6.3, approval of amendment number 25 to the agreement between Oro Loma Sanitary District and Myers-Navé. Want to tee us up again?
Yeah, I think one of the most extraordinary elements of this item is that it's amendment number 25. And that reflects that we've been partners with Myers-Navé for 25 years, or maybe 26, depending on how you do the math exactly. But Myers-Navé has done very excellent, or provided very excellent service to us over that period, has been a really good partner. There's been low moments legally for us, and I think they've helped us through those times. And so, you know, I think they provide really good value. And so certainly my recommendation to extend the agreement with amendment number 25.
Great. Can I get a motion to approve item 6.3, approval of amendment number 25 to the
agreement? I'd like to move this item.
Okay, thank you. It's been moved. Can I get a second?
I will second the motion.
Okay, it's seconded by Director Stelzman. Any discussion, any questions? Director Lee.
So we actually covered this briefly at the Finance Committee. I did speak of it from outside the agency in terms of what Myers-Navé's coverage is, including the fact that they are definitely well recognized, even with the League of California Cities, because they speak and provide training at that league level. So I believe that this is a very good amendment, right? And that's why I supported moving this forward.
Great. So if there are no other questions, a roll call vote for approval of item 6.3.
Director Lee?
Aye.
Director Stelzman?
Approve.
Director Young?
Yes.
Vice President Simon?
Yes.
And President Duncan?
Yes. So item 6.3 has been approved unanimously. Now to item 6.4, approval of land use policy, a standard procedure.
Yeah. So this is the second time the board has seen this, and it's also been considered by the Finance and Insurance Committee. I think the heart of the policy is that we in this priority order want to secure our lands, that land is limited and precious, that we want to consider before dedicating it for any use, to consider the long-term needs of the land. So basically, the liquidity requirements of our lands. We don't want to use it for one thing and have to rip that out and put in something else. Then we would seek yield, that we have assets that we want to beneficially use, to create economic return. And then fourthly, and this is a big addition to this version of the policy, is to consider community benefits when we consider uses of our land. So that's really the heart of this policy. And maybe I'll turn it back to the board for discussion.
And discussion? Okay. Director Lee.
Yes, this was well covered at the Finance Committee, right? We discussed the addition of that line over there, which I think speaks to the spirit of what we were all looking for in terms of, you know, considerations of community benefits. And, you know, it's pretty well outlined there. I think this is something that we're all looking for, right? Because benefits of the community comes in many different forms, but this language accepts all that.
Director Simon.
Yes, I have concerns with this policy. To start off, I would say the beginning, item number one, the first sentence, end of the first sentence, to maximize monetary return on the available assets. And I am concerned about that is in conflict with community benefits, maximizing monetary returns. And I would say that's even in conflict with the first mile levy that we just proposed, that we just approved, because that project definitely doesn't maximize monetary returns. I think that when we look at our land use, we should be looking more so than just maximizing returns. That shouldn't be the utmost priority. I don't think enough emphasis is placed on community benefits. We state consideration of community benefits. I think it should be stronger. I think we should provide community benefit to whatever we do at our properties, because it's part of the community. It supports the community. So it should have direct community benefit, not just a consideration. I would also go on, let me see, objective 3.1, where it states, the district shall prioritize long-term security of its lands. The second sentence, maintaining continuous use of property for industrial purposes is a strong, sound strategy for securing long-term use. So the key word is maintaining continuous use for industrial purposes, which again goes into conflict with community benefits. Community benefit may not be an industrial use. There's ideas talked about maybe having a learning area or doing something else with the land besides making it industrial that could help our community. So to me, it feels like we are focusing on filling up our land for item number one, at least 3.1, to cover it up, and we don't have maintenance issues, but it's really locking us out of any other opportunities that comes out in the future potentially. So I don't support this plan. I think that we should have more discussion and dialogue on it. I believe that this was really put together very quickly in a fashion, in my opinion, to support the project that's coming after this. We've had workshops that have been on smaller issues. I think land use policy, none was ever existed for Oro Loma. I think this deserves a workshop and a more detailed discussion amongst the board. Thank you.
If there's no one else, I have questions. You have no questions, Director Stelzman?
Just to give feedback on that, I don't necessarily see these objectives as conflicting. I mean, these are just different aspects to look at on a case-by-case basis whenever a project or something comes up. And I think it's really up to the board to decide by means of prioritization what benefits the most. So I disagree that there's any outstanding conflict in this language.
Director Lee, you have
raised my hand. Comments? Yeah, with all due respect, I understand some of the concerns, but bear in mind we have various lands, right? And some of the lands go down to as small as 80 square feet. You know, basically scopes a manhole, right? You can't really apply a global policy, right, on every single use of lands, because I think that's gonna be very self-limiting. Why do I believe this policy is very appropriate, right, is because it covers pretty much that whole gamut, right? I do agree with Director Stelzman that this policy, you know, we've read it thoroughly, we looked at it, and if you actually look at the proceeding pages, it actually also provides the properties at hand, right, that are being discussed, as well as, you know, some of the other properties that we have, right, that you probably would not be able to apply, you know, a community benefit to a manhole cover. The consideration actually has to fit the purpose, right? And there's a reason why we have five members, right? The five members can basically direct with board consensus, the general manager, in terms of what we're trying to look for and the spirit of what we're trying to look for.
Okay, Director Young.
Thank you. Let me put my hand down. These things drive me crazy. Lower my hand. Okay. My comments probably are more to the tune of what I consider my own explanation to myself, and that's the definition of community benefit. First of all, this property is landlocked, so there would never be, I don't think, an opportunity for literally for the community to come on the property and do anything. Secondly, there are lots of opportunities for training, education, and labor hiring in certain projects that take place at our plant that do provide community benefit. There's also a benefit to the community if we lease out or purchase, not purchase, I'm sorry, if we lease out or allow an industrial use, for instance, like the three major internet carriers lease portions of our land to provide internet capabilities and telephone wires to folks all over the area. Also, a user could produce financial benefit that would help our ratepayers not have to pay an enormous amount of money to lay sewer pipe. So I think you have to broaden your definition of community benefit. I was not in favor of even putting that paragraph in, so I owned up to the fact that we could use a different definition for community benefit to make it happen. I don't know if any of you have actually looked at the pictures. Forget the project that's being proposed. I don't want to discuss that project now. But if you look at some of the pictures that were developed, this property clearly is set way back from the Bay Trail. It is not literally visible from the Bay Trail. And so it's landlocked and could not possibly be used for much other than what we use it for now. And right now we're using it for biosolids. So, oops, my phone going off. Those are basically my comments. I'm pleased with the way it ended up being worded. It's not rocket science to develop a land use policy that has to be broad and global. So those are my comments. Thank you for listening.
Okay. I differ from all of you, and that's the beauty of us being five of us. I had an issue because it came to my attention. Someone called me about, how did they say, how did she raise it? She says, are special districts special and they don't have to involve the community or their customers in decisions that they're making about or their in this instance, about services that they want to use. And I said, no, we have to bid our projects, da 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 da. And then I went to a meeting and learned that the city of Hayward, for that SkyWest property that Hart is returning back to them, they're having a public hearing on the use of land, that use of land. And so my concern is that we, the five of us, get to make the decision about what to do with that land for 30 years when none of us are going to be here. And so my question, and this perhaps is to Claire, is there's nothing in the guidelines and regulations for special districts that states when a special district have to involve the customers other than around the rate hearings? Because I know for the cities, they can't use their property if it's not, they can only use their property, this is my understanding, and Sheila, please correct me if I'm wrong, whether or not, if it's not in the specific plan. I was doing some research on it and I couldn't reach out to the woman that leads LAFCO, because I was trying to understand, do we have any obligations as a special district to use that property in a way that the residents can benefit from the use of it, not monetarily? So that's what I was trying to get an understanding, because in this policy, it doesn't talk about us having hearings to include, you know, the residents that we serve on making a decision around the usage of the property. So we differ from so this.
No, I was going to say I can give kind of a overview of the of responding to your question. So the Sanitary District Act of 1923, which the district is formed under, gives special districts broad powers to kind of dispose of property, enter into transaction with respect to its properties. So there's not a specific statute that requires a public hearing with respect to, you know, handling district assets. There are laws about, you know, making sure that for all public agencies, making sure that all transactions are not give some public funds. But there's not a specific statute about public hearing in this kind of situation. In the scenarios that you're referring to, that involves land use decisions, pursuant to which, so like a city or a county would have, like you said, a general plan, a specific plan, and their land use decisions pursuant to that. And there are statutes in the government code requiring when that those decisions have to be made pursuant to public hearing. So that's direct reason for those things to occur. But here, I think it's more of a policy direction as to, you know, where the district wants to go.
And if I may add one comment, Director Duncan.
Sure.
Yeah, so for items that would be unrelated to the sanitary business, we would go through the regular land use planning process. So we would, some good examples was the Verizon Tower. We would go through county zoning. We would obtain a permit. There'd be public hearings related to the use. And the same thing would happen if we had a purpose for our solar drying ponds that was different than our than was related to our business. So we would go through county zoning for a project like the battery energy storage, which is still a long way off. We would go through CEQA. There'd be separate public hearings associated with CEQA. And so, you know, to answer your question, we would have at least two public hearings related to that project if it were to move forward at all.
Thank you for that clarity. I'm not sure if Director Simon's hand is still up or is it a new up?
It's a new up.
Okay. Director Simon and then Director Lee.
Okay, thank you. This is a response to some of the comments, just continue the dialogue. I would say the analogy was brought up for a manhole. I would say a manhole does have community benefit. I mean, a manhole protects the community. It protects people from falling in the hole. It provides access for a system. So I would say it does provide community benefit. As far as this parcel being landlocked, the district, we do have land that connects from Grant Avenue straight across. You need a bridge to go across the canal. So I would say this parcel is not landlocked. Would you agree with that, Jason, using our own property?
Yeah, if you walk through the treatment plant, you could ultimately access that property across the bridge, yes.
Not the treatment plant, the construction yard. Could you move the diagram to your aerial photograph that shows the different parcels? So from before where KJ Woods leases their land now, or whatever we allow them to use our land from Grant, over the yellow, this yellow parcel, this yellow APN 438, that's our land, correct?
Yes.
So we could access this property through this yellow piece straight across. So it's not landlocked. It's just building an access road or some access to it.
My point, Fred, was that it's not that it's not available to the general public. And it is landlocked on all sides, except one side is probably water. I can't tell from here.
Well, I think for the future, it could be, depending on land use planning, what we decide to do with this. I think using the term landlocked sounds like it's gone forever, but it's within our property connection to a public street. So in that sense, I think that this land is more valuable than we think. The other comment I would make about, you know, earning money helps a ratepayer. Yes, it does, but I wouldn't say not in all senses. If you look at the example in Hayward, they put in that power plant. Yeah, that brought in money, but what did it do putting pollution on the neighbors nearby when the power goes across the bay? So I would say just bringing in money, maximizing revenue, and that's the concern I have in this beginning paragraph. That is the term, maximize monitoring return. I can't support that. And the last is a question about, if you can scroll to the next diagram, Jason. If you could blow it up, there's a, something called East Bay Mud ground lease. Could you describe what we are leasing to East Bay Mud on our property?
We lease this little pocket, and it's associated with the their groundwater recharge program.
So what's on that? What's on that lease? What's on that parcel?
A well.
And when did Ora Loma allow wells to be placed on our land? When did that occur?
I think this is maybe dates back to the 50s, or I'm not saying it has, like, they didn't replace the motor more recently, but the well has existed maybe even before that into the 30s. Or there's another well that we still operate inside this little shed here. In my understanding, that some of this was well water was drawn out and pumped up into Lake Chabot. I haven't verified that history, but my understanding, this used to be a significant contribution to the local water supply.
So who owns that well?
I believe the actual well, they do, East Bay Mud.
So they own a well on our property, and it was from the 30s?
The well casing was installed maybe like sometime more than 50 years ago. I'll say that for certain. I don't know the precise timing.
How does East Bay Mud own something so old on our property? It's been that long? It's been 50 years since they've had this lease?
The well, let's see. I don't know that the well was always theirs. I could do the research, but I'll say I don't know the answer.
Okay, yeah. As a follow-up, if you could give me the background and the history on this well and in the length of this lease for East Bay Mud.
I'm sorry, Fred, what would be the point in having staff spend that kind of time? I mean, what is the point?
For me to understand.
Understand what?
Ora Loma's relationship with East Bay Mud, and how does that relate to our policy? Are we in the sewage groundwater business?
Well, then you need to ask the question of every piece of our property that has something else on it. I just think you're putting staff to a huge amount of work that's not necessary.
I disagree, Director Young.
Yeah, well, that's fine. Let's have a vote. Okay. And let's not talk about future projects.
Okay, could we take a deep breath?
I still have my hand up.
Director Simon, was that the last of your questions?
Yes, and I am interested in that East Bay Mud information, President Duncan, however you feel fit to, if I'm able to obtain it. Thank you.
Okay, Director, I do have a comment before, but I'll let you go, Director Lee. I have a comment.
So manhole cover is a regulatory requirement in terms of maintaining the roads and safety, right? There's land use, right, that land use policies and zoning, right, that we have to go and abide by the county. And I think that's important for us to understand those, right? And that's where staff is going to provide us the guidance. And this policy was written in accordance to ensure that it didn't violate any of those policies, right? And it gave us the discretion as a board to make those decisions. And that's one of the reasons why I say this policy is a good policy.
Okay, I for some reason I still think it's a beginning, because for me I know the many of you directors think that it's a broad scope and it gives us some flexibility. But for me, it's like, and maybe this is something that you guys are talking about, nowhere do we talk about, you know, the length of leases. And, you know, I have an, period, because I have an issue with, you know, leasing something longer than many of us will be on the board, and without it being balanced with understanding what the future of this communities, these communities that we live in, you know, how it's going to change and stuff like that. And so I don't think it's as detailed as it could be. That it doesn't give the guidance to me that I need as far as making the decision on whether or not I, as a director, can make a decision for 30 years for the constituents that I represent without it having a little bit more ump in it. So that's where I sit on this particular policy. And I would hope that we would, because we've had these discussions that we're having right now, these back and forth, that perhaps we would or could have a workshop on it so we can all get our questions answered and not sending Jason on one-off assignments to do, you know, to answer our questions. So I'm just not comfortable with the policy. I think it's too broad.
I'd like to make a motion that we move this to a future workshop for discussion. Is there a second?
I'd like to second it. So now we can have a vote.
Was that a substitute motion? Because I think we moved this item already, right?
The item has not been moved yet.
No, it has
okay,
not.
Okay, got it.
Okay, so starting with Director Lee.
Please clarify the motion.
The motion is to table this item, the land use policy, to a future meeting or workshop.
No.
Not a meeting, a workshop.
Okay. A future workshop. Nay. Okay, thank you. Director Stelzman?
No.
Director Young?
Just for the record, you cannot table this motion. You can continue it or move it, but you cannot table it. And my answer is no.
Director or Vice President Simon?
Yes.
And President Duncan?
Yes. So it looks like we won't discuss this land policy any farther. So we now can continue.
So I'd like to move this item.
I'll be happy to second.
Okay, it's been moved and second.
May I take the roll call vote?
Yes.
Okay. Director Lee?
Yes.
Director Stelzman?
Approve.
Director Young?
Yes.
Vice President Simon?
Fred, are you frozen?
I think he's frozen.
No.
No. Okay, thank you. And President Duncan?
No.
Thank you.
All right, so we have approved the land use policy, and now we will move on to item 7, board discussion item, district response to build up of tires near a treatment plant site. Jason?
Trying to catch up real quick. Yeah, this is an item that was requested at the last board meeting, and then as we kind of went back through the record, I think it actually came up in a workshop related to the strategic plan, and we agreed at that time to bring it back for later discussion. But you know, we're sitting right here on the shoreline. If you look at in the mud between San Lorenzo Creek and the Bachman Canal, there's about 200 tires sitting out in the mud, and I've done like a little bit of research on kind of who's kind of been maintaining or managing those over the years. And East Bay Regional Parks does pull about 20 tires out each year. I think that's from Highway 92 up to San Lorenzo. So it's not, you know, right in our immediate area. And there has been a suggestion by our board that while we're advocating the community to clean up, that we might look in our own backyard, which maybe literally or figuratively is the bay. I think, you know, to pull a tire out of the bay would cost somewhere between $500 and $1,000 per. So you're looking at about $100,000 probably to pull 200 tires out. We could spread this over multiple years or choose not to engage. And so maybe with that, I'll turn it back to you, Director Duncan.
Okay, can I get a motion to, well, it's just a discussion item. Are there any comments? Director Lee, I saw your hand go up.
Yes, you know, I think, you know, if it's first and foremost, I think it's important for us to understand, you know, who owns that responsibility and who owns that area. If it's indeed us, that's something that I think we definitely have to be responsible for. If it's something that we're adopting as a policy, we need to also adopt a funding source for it. And because $100,000 to pull a whole bunch of tires, you know, I think it's a good thing. Sometimes these tires do become habitats, right, for whatever biological presence that's in there, right? And I think those are certain risks that we have to measure, right? There's a lot of unknowns. I don't think there's answers that we have, right? And I don't think we're qualified to necessarily make those decisions without some additional input, but then there are costs to it.
Director Stelzman?
Oh, yeah, I'm just kind of staggered by the cost of what it would cost to remove one tire, 500 to 1,000. So I was hoping to get a breakdown on what the costs, what's associated with those costs. And like Director Lee was pointing out, ownership. I mean, who is really responsible for these lands? It should it be a joint effort? These are other questions I think that we should would look into, as well as what the source of the tires are. Is this a continuing problem? Are they continuing to accumulate? Or is this something that's been dumped there from decades ago? So I want to see if this is going to be an ongoing problem or something that can be taken care of at one time only.
Yeah, I think the estimate is, you know, we could probably get more firm information about that. I did talk to Mark Taylor, who's been managing that shoreline for about 40 years or just shy of 40 years. And he just talked through what it takes to do it. He said he used the term, it's a young man's job, that they have somebody walk out to the tire, they dig around it, they tie a cable to it and use a big military crane to pull it out. They're restricted in time because there's certain nesting periods for the birds. And he said that the cable, no matter how hard they wash it, it always corrodes out every year. So they have a steel cable that they replace. And so it's just to pull out 20 tires, you're looking at maybe 10 man days or 10 person days and a, you know, big, heavy piece of equipment and a new cable. I did call around to some boating operations in the bay. I think one kind of bid a little bit, but never, you know, hasn't given me a firm price yet. I expect to get a firm price. And I asked for like 10, 20 and 50 tire lots. So if I get that quote, I'll share that information, but close to a guess would be that 500 to 1,000. You know, at some point if the board was interested in funding this, then we would just bid it out and invite the whole world. And I think this is an opportunity for somebody that's creative and motivated to do something kind of cool. But I don't know where the board is, whether they want to stay away from this or engage, and then at what price level do you want to engage?
Who owns the responsibility? I thought that was one of the things that you were researching.
Yeah, I think that East Bay Mud, out of the goodness of their heart, has been chasing the issue, but they don't feel any actual obligation to remove it. I think you could go upstream to say that maybe there's a nexus to the flood control that I think these people are throwing them into the channel and then they get washed out with the rain. But, you know, without doing forensics, you couldn't necessarily tell that it actually came from there. And so I think this is something where it's maybe nobody's responsibility. Nobody firmly you could point your finger at and say it's your responsibility 100%.
Okay, Director Simon and then Director Young.
Okay, I support clearing these tires out. I don't know how we do it, but I'm definitely 100% supportive of it since it is our backyard. We are a waste management plant and it looks like we're on a dump. So it just looks bad and it's bad for the environment. We want to clean up the bay through treatment processes, but we've got decaying tires out there. So I'm definitely supportive of it. But my question, let's say no man's land. Who physically owns that property?
There is a parcel map. I can get to that information. I don't know, Jimmy, if you could get it just off of Ames real quick. There's a point where it's the open water, so it's waters of the U.S. And then inside that, there is a chunk of it that Oraloma owns the property to. I think some of it's Alameda County flood. I think we're going to get the parcel designations off Ames, but it'll take like probably longer than anybody has patience for to find the actual ownership. So, Jimmy, can you see, like, let's say the mouth of the San Lorenzo Creek? Can you see whether that's flood control
or it's East pulling Bay up, or it's pulling up right now. As soon as it pops up, I'll let you know.
But it seems like a lot of them are near the outfall, the Oraloma outfall, sprinkled all throughout there.
So a chunk of that land, especially to the south of the outfall, is Oraloma's property. At the mouth of Bachman is Oraloma
property. It goes out as far as the outfall, our land?
It's in that zone, yeah. And we'll pull up the parcel.
Is that your last question, Director?
Yes. Yeah, I'm 100% supportive of it. And at some point, this may not be the time because we're talking about tires in the treatment plant site, but I think we should also look at the front of our plant too. I know it's not our property, but coordinating with the city or the county or whoever to clean up the area around us. Jason did a nice job cleaning up the oil that was dumped and abandoned there. But I think we should focus on cleaning up our community, starting with us. Thank you.
Director Young.
Well, I'm just perplexed as to what our responsibilities are and what our core mission is. Once again, who is Mark Taylor, Jason?
He's an East Bay Regional Park District employee, but he's supervised the trail for about 35 years. He's just thoughtful, cares, engaged employee of East Bay Regional Park.
And did you say that they had removed a number of, don't turn your sound off yet. Did you say they had removed a number of tires?
He said they do 20 a year. That's their kind of their budget, what he's got funding for.
And do they choose the location where they do 20 a year, or is it just wherever they happen to see them?
I'm sure he has a method to the way he goes about it. I imagine he picks a local spot instead of one from all 5 miles, but I actually don't know the answer.
Have we ever considered working with BCDC? Are you familiar with BCDC? And they have a lot of public control over land use near the water. I know that from having been in San Leandro. So I think we need to continue to look for someone else who will do this work. I don't personally walk the trail, so I would have to depend on somebody else who walks the trail to tell me how many tires they see when they're near our property or the backside of our property. Does anybody know precisely how many tires are like right outside of our view?
Jason, what about that picture you showed me? Will that show a visual picture?
Many tires.
The best view is on Google Earth, and I can share that. Is that of interest?
Well, Google Earth is not what you see when you're walking the trail.
And my concern is that we're taking on things that are not in our core mission, are not our responsibility. We are not a wealthy agency. And we're talking about adding tons of different things to our plate that are not things that we have the money to pay for. So when you start talking about community benefit and that project that we're going to discuss another day, you can't thumb your nose at $100 million over 30 years. So I'm just concerned that not only that, if we went out there today, spent the money and removed every one of those tires, how long do you think it would be before another one sort of scooted down from the flood control panel? Channel, I'm sorry. So I just think we're taking on things that are not in our purview and not our responsibility. And I'm going to purposely go out, if I can find a way to do it, try to walk out there on the trail just to see what it looks like. Or when you're out there riding your bike, Fred, take some pictures and show me what it looks like to people who are walking along the trail. That's what I'd like to see. Because I will not be in favor of spending one penny of our money if we can't find a willing partner to help us. Thank you.
I suggest you do that at low tide.
Yes.
Take photos and pictures at low tide. That way you get the best representation of what's really there.
So do you walk out there, Paul?
I have on occasion, but I have seen tires. It's just kind of off my radar. I know there are some. I don't really pay much attention to it.
I mean, it would be helpful if we knew precisely where they were coming from, and maybe somebody could block off that dumping area. But I don't know how you do that. The public has to be educated on where and when to dump a tire. So I don't know. That's okay. Just my thinking.
Director Lee, and then Director, I almost called Director Dane, and then Jimmy.
So I did make some comments earlier, on disturbing habitats, right? I preface that with the fact that, areas of responsibility, I'm very familiar with BCDC. I know that when we have abandoned boats, right? A city doesn't, historically, they didn't have the funding for it, but then did they apply for grants that allowed the removal of those boats? And until they got that funding, they weren't able to do so. Now, Google Maps does have a street view that does go to the shore, but when I'm looking at the maps, some of the images are captured in 2011, some of them are captured in 2021. So we can see it to a limited extent. I don't think anybody has mapped this or has put in resource to mapping, but I would be interested in working with the East Bay Regional Park District just to have that discussion, because if they have funding that has done, like 20, 25 or a year, that could be one channel where we can advocate, hey, where does that source of funding come from, and how do we increase that source of funding? If there's somebody already doing it, we should leverage that channel rather than create a new responsibility within our group. I think we can advocate in that area, and rather than throw another responsibility on staff on this.
Okay, Jimmy, and then Jason, I think you should show the picture of the tires. But Jimmy, you had a comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to the question about the parcel and where our property line is. According to the parcel map, we do own 750 feet of water outside of the trail.
750. Okay. Jason, you want to show the picture?
So this, just to orient you, I don't know if this is showing up well, but here's our outfall. And you can see just kind of out in the mud, there's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, about 30 that are right around the outfall. It's worse over here at the outlet. You can see, this might not be in our purview. This is south of San Lorenzo, the mouth of San Lorenzo Creek, but you can see a fair number of tires out there. So we could limit the scope by just focusing around, couple hundred feet around our outfall, you know, that could be a start.
How far is 750 feet?
This is approximately 900 feet. So I think technically this would be
General Manager Warner, if you right click on the screen, you can actually do a measurement from the point of measuring. So just go ahead and go to the shoreline, just measure that, right? And then drag across and drop the dot, and that will give you a measurement.
But that outfall is 950 feet.
Yeah, so that's like 600 feet from there to there, but I do think this is 900 feet.
Yeah, they have a reference.
And so, Jimmy, you're saying we're responsible for what, 700 feet beyond that, or no?
Yeah, that's an approximation. I have a parcel map I can share just to give you an idea.
It's okay. It's okay, because I think a lot of comments were made that we need more information before we would even approve something like this. And we are in the discussion of it. I do think, and I've also shared this with you, Jason, that I think that we should get some partners if possible to help, you know, to clean it up. I do understand the point that it's not part of our main competency that we're supposed to be focusing on, but I also believe that we are in the waste management business and that oftentimes perhaps we need to set the example. But that I want to put a caveat as far as, you know, that we feel that we can afford it. But I do think that at least we should find out what is the cost and the commitment on our part before we would make a decision to do that and make sure that we have some partners in doing it. And I see Director Lee, and then I see Director Stealth. Not Lee, God, I don't know why. I'll always keep calling you, have you on the mind, Benny. Director Simon, and then Director Stealthman.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's good to look for partners. I'm not saying Orlam will go out and spend $100,000 that we don't have. And I also don't think, you know, we should be moving into just taking other projects for the money. I mean, money is not always going to solve all of our problems. Grab money so we could pay for other things. But like Benny said, perhaps there's grants out there. But I think we should not just turn our heads and look the other way and always say, this is not our responsibility. I believe this is why our community is in such bad shape. There's so much trash, so much dumping, because so many people say that's not my responsibility, and then they just drive right by it. So I think we should start to partner more with others, whether it's a park district, whether it's neighboring cities, whoever, to start to clean up our community. And I think we can set an example. If we can do that as agencies, maybe people will start doing that. Thanks.
Okay, Director Stelzman.
Yeah, just a quick comment. After seeing those aerial photographs, it's clear to me it's a much bigger problem that goes well beyond the scope of just the district's immediate property. So I think that in light of that, I would think that our approach should be more holistic. And that means just reaching out to an agency like BCDC and just finding out, just tell them our interest as a stakeholder and what part we can play in the greater effort. Because if you just take it on by yourself as a district, it's both inefficient and really ineffective.
And then I want to kind of move us along. Do you have a short comment, Director Lee?
Yes, very, very quick. You know, this weekend when I went to a couple of events, I did get a chance to talk to many of the electeds, including Mayor Pauline Cutter. And I spoke about the spirit of partnership, right? Because they own the rights of way in their area and their purview. And I think when we're talking about finding areas of responsibilities, right? It's also working in collaboration to achieve some of the things that I think this board is looking to achieve. So I wanna make that quick comment that, you know, well, outside of this board meeting, I am talking to other elected officials who may have a greater, you know, a greater say over their their rights away.
Okay, thank you. Well, thank you all for this healthy discussion. And Jason, I guess the direction that I'm hearing, and I don't mind being corrected if I'm not summarizing this correctly, is for us to find out a little bit more on the responsibility and the cost, and for us to work on perhaps developing partnerships in order to address this, and specifically BCDC. And just report back. Did I capture that correctly?
I also heard Vice President Simon mentioned seeing if there are grants available that can subsidize that. So we covered that in our discussion.
Okay, so thank you. So now to item number 8, Committee Authority Association Reports. Can we hear from item 8.1, a report from the Solid Waste Committee on May 10th? Director Simon.
Yes, we met 3:30 on May 10th, and our normal players were present. No members of the public were there. First, we reviewed the strategic goals and related to solid waste, and they noted we were all in green, with the exception with recycling, organics, outreach, and schools, which is on hold due to the pandemic. We then reviewed key performance indicators, KPIs, related to solid waste, and noted all goals were exceeded with the exception of bulky waste. And the goal is 3,000 per quarter, and 2,850 were collected. We also noted that the graphics were confusing. Some of the goals exceeded by achieving a number of higher than the goal, for example, mattresses, while others exceeded by achieving a lower number than the goal, missed pickups. Staff is working on reformatting the graphics with different colors. I asked how the goals were established, and staff said that they were based on average numbers reported to the district by waste management. And I asked for a trend of the annual bulky waste pickups, and staff will develop and present that at the next meeting. And a little background on that. So Jason, remind me, how many households do we have again in Oraloma?
46,000.
Is it 46? So 46,000 times two bulky pickups.
Or if you're going to do the math that way, it should be 30,000 resi, there's 16,000 multi.
Okay, so there's a lot more than 3,000 bulky pickups available. So, you know, I'd be interested to see, you know, increasing our goals, our stretch goals, to start utilizing more of these bulky waste pickups to help alleviate a lot of the dumping that's happening in our community. SB 1383 update. And our staff is very well versed on this. They provided the requirements and the district's preparations for implementation, which is attached. We have a plan in place, working on the plan, and we expect to meet all the new mandates. And that update is attached for your reference. Public outreach, Natasha and Brandon reported that their outreach focused on April on 34 new businesses that produced 10 to 15 cubic yards of waste per week. Some need to implement recycling or organics program. 1383 mandates and educational materials were distributed and technical assistance provided. 11 businesses added organic services and reduced trash level. Additional outreach to businesses was planned in May, after which the focus shift back to multi-families. And the solid waste outreach program is cyclical, addressing businesses one half of each year and multi-family the other half. All activities were conducted to comply with 1383, which will go into effect January 1st, coming up in 2022. For solid waste program, Spencer reported that the focus in April was on recycling and organics and cart placement, and drivers received refresher training on the process of tagging carts, and they were asked to take 2 feet apart stickers on carts located too close to parked cars. For director comments, our general manager acknowledged Andre and Natasha for their extensive work on 1383 and for the comprehensive presentation. Director Young and I echoed the sentiment and noted that they were proud of the staff and the great work they do. And Director Young added she attended several stop waste and Cal Recycle sessions on 1383 to become familiar with the legislation. And our meeting adjourned at 4:20 p.m.
Thank you. Are there any questions or clarification questions? Seeing none, thank you, Director Simon, for that report. And now for a report from the Alameda County Special District Association on May 12th, Director Lee.
Thank you. You know, I was able to attend the latter half of the the meeting. I had a work conflict, so I walked in on one of the presentations that was given by the Chief of the Government and Legislative Affairs for the East Bay Regional Park District's Chief of Fire, right? The topic of discussion was largely on tree mortality. It was a 15-minute presentation. There was a lot of questions asked, particularly because eucalyptus trees are not native to California, right? They were brought in, and of course, they are extreme fire hazards. There is some work to thin them. I think one of the questions is, why don't we remove them all? And obviously, that's a bigger task. One of the coverage by Erica Fuller, who is that Chief of the Government and Legislative Affairs, she noted that it's really thinning of them would still accomplish the same thing, and that is exactly what they're doing. It was a great presentation. There was also a presentation by the new East Bay Regional Park District's general manager. I'm going to ask Director Young to cover that because I missed that portion. And we also had a presentation by LAFCO because we were voting in the new executive officer. I will ask staff to cover that because I forward over that information to Ms. Schofield as well as General Manager Warner. To start off, I ask Director Young to cover the presentation on Sabrina Landreth, the new General Manager, and then to have the General Manager cover over the LAFCO.
No, it's a good thing I took notes, Benny. And it would have been nice if you had warned me that you were going to ask me to do this. But it's okay. Sabrina Lambreth, if for many of you may recall her name, she was the administrative officer for the city of Oakland and left there some time back. She is now at East Bay Regional Park and absolutely is in love with it, and she should be because it's not Oakland. Anyway, 73 parks, 173,000 acres that she is managing. She grew up in Oakland. She met her husband in the eighth grade. How about that? She has a number of people on her board that we all know. Most of us know them anyway. I'll try to just hit a couple of highlights. There's been a 30% increase in park use during COVID. Some increases in some of the parks are between 300% and 400% increase. Fire danger is the number one issue, as you might imagine. They're doing a lot of vegetation management. Benny talked about the trees that the fire chief covered. They have a phased employee return, and going to start returning employees on June 16th and keep them flexible and fluid. And that was pretty much her introduction to the group. She really based her discussion on her personal responsibility and her personal taking of the job. She's brand new. And she introduced Eric Fuller, who did some government affairs stuff, who then introduced Eileen Thurl, who's the fire chief, and Benny covered it from there. So it was a good meeting, and I think all of you would have enjoyed it were you able to be there. And by the way, every board member is entitled to attend those meetings. So if you get an opportunity to go, you should try to attend. They're very interesting. You meet people from other special districts, and that's always helpful. Thank you, Benny, for the opportunity.
Thank you, Director Young, and my apologies. I should have mentioned it. I mentioned it in our last conversation.
Jason? So who's going to do the LAFCO?
Yeah, and then I think many people on our board knows Georgine Von Heeter-Leopold, who's been a longtime director at DSRSD. I think she was a longtime director, then was off the board, and then is now back on the board. She's the incumbent and part of the executive committee with Director Young for Alameda County Special Districts. And so she was reelected to the position.
That covers it.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Are there any questions? None? Okay, now for the report for the construction committee meeting, which was May 12th. And I will give that report. The meeting was called to order at 10:30. And I was confused because typically we meet at 10, and then I realized that we flex it when we have the Alameda County Special District meeting. So that was news for me. But anyway, all of the directors were present. There was no general public. We approved the construction committee meetings from last month. Jimmy Dane presented the Fund 40 and 45 monthly accounting sheets, which shows the financial status of all active projects in the budget. And we discussed the following ones: SLR 2021, project number 2. The committee inquired about whether or not the funds will be spent, and the project has been bid and construction contract awarded. The new encumbrance will be reflected in the next month's financial report. We also discussed the plant battery energy storage system project. General Manager Warner provided an update on this project. Currently, PG&E's interconnection terms were too limited for our plant. Staff will work with REC Solar to prepare a new submittal and reapply. Staff noted that there is a risk that we may not achieve an agreeable solution, which would require the district to terminate the project. We also reviewed the Ecotone Research and Monitoring Project, which we talked about earlier, and the committee inquired whether or not the research will be continued by UC Berkeley. And the research will be continued if the district accepts the CWS SRF grant through SFEI to extend the activities and to reconstruct 3 of the 12 cells. The committee accepted the report. We then discussed the 10-year R&R and CIP projected costs. Jimmy Dane presented the updated 10-year R&R and CIP projected costs, and there were no changes from the previous months. Items discussed included the SCADA hardware and software upgrades that are planned for fiscal year 21-22 and fiscal year 22 and 23. And the committee also requested that projects over $1 million be highlighted on the document because we felt that Jimmy did a great job the night before at the joint meeting highlighting those projects. And the descriptions were really well accepted. Then we discussed the strategic goals tracking, and there were no changes from the previous month. The committee accepted the report. We then, the staff presented the status of the summary projects, and we had some discussions again on this consolidated operation building project, the plant paving project, the point repairs, number 2 and number 1, and then SLRP projects number 1 and number 2 again. We then talked about the plant energy neutrality project, which is budgeted for $10,000. Bill presented the plant energy neutrality project to the committee. The project's going to be working with NG to evaluate the plant to determine ways to bring the plant back to the net zero on its energy consumption. The project is focusing on installing a jockey pump in the headworks to efficiently transfer flow during periods of low flow up upgrading and moving that digester dewatering to reduce the number of times we currently pump digested sludge, improving the way RAS is introduced to the aeration basin, and investigating the installation of the analyzers at the headworks to provide better feedback for aeration and pumping throughout the plant. Preliminary plans showing the potential layout of the project components were shown along with the project schedule. The analysis and design will be completed in late June, at which point NG will solicit quotes from contractors. And in late July, NG will present the project cost and energy savings to the district for a review. And if the board chooses to move forward with the project, NG will fund the capital and payment will be made through the energy savings on the power bill. The committee accepted report. We then discussed the plant paving project, which we talked about already and which we approved the completion of. And I'll just say the original contract price was $704,904. And there were three owner-initiated change orders for a total contract price of $829,195. And the total project construction cost was $899,076. And staff, again, requested authorization for the committee to bring the project to the full board for closeout, which we just did. Then we talked about the sewer line replacement program goal tracking. And you can see it as on the attachment that we have, if I'm correct, we've completed what, 6 miles so far. And then we talked about the CWSFR horizontal levy grant, which we already approved to go forward with that. And then we also talked about the status of the loan efforts to support the strategic goal of the 40 miles of renewable by 2029. Dane provided an update on possible funding options for future line replacements. 4 months ago, the district received news that the state is extending loan awards to all projects scoring 13. This includes our application for the first CWSRF loan for $25 million of the sewer rehabilitation work. And then activity between the state SRF project manager and OLSD is high, with legal and environmental reviews complete. And the SRF number one loan looks very promising and is expected to be fully approved by August 2021. And the state has committed to a 0.9% borrow rate for the loan. Warner mentioned that considering the low borrowing costs, it may be advantageous to borrow the full $25 million amount versus the planned $20 million. And the committee noted that they were open to the higher amount and asked staff to bring the question to the full board for consideration at a future date. The second CWSRF loan application was also submitted to the state at the end of December 2020. This application included the design of an additional $25 million of the sewer rehabilitation work. And if both SRF number one and WIFIA loans are approved, staff will recommend withdrawing our SRF number two application. And the committee accepted the report. Again, the Water Infrastructure and Finance and Innovation Act loan. Staff is seeking an additional $20 million from the federal WIFIA loan program. The WIFIA program is offering a 2.3% interest rate as of May 3rd, 2021, and a 35-year amortization. And staff recently obtained the board authority to pay the application fee of $100,000 and submit our application to the underwriting. Given our readiness and alignment of the infrastructure renewal with the program's purpose and strong credit, it's highly likely that we will receive formal loan approval in August 2021. And a likely scenario includes the WIFIA funds for $20 million and $20 million for SRF for the sewer line replacement over the next 3 to 5 years. Given the favorable construction market, staff will likely work with the board to accelerate the work as much as staffing allows, and the committee accepted report. And then we had staff and director comments. General Manager Warner noted that NG has implemented electrical vehicle charging stations for other agencies. At the current time, staff has not asked NG to develop this option for Oklahoma. Director Simon commented that the department was doing a great job on the quality and volume of project work. He inquired about the timeline for the vehicle transition plan. Warner replied that the management has developed an inventory of vehicles and a plan to both reduce the fleet size and identify vehicles to convert the electric. During prior discussion, the board requested further details on the plan for each vehicle. Staff is developing a memo and presentation to provide details on the plan. Then Jimmy mentioned that he's putting a memo presentation together that will be shared at the next committee meeting. And I expressed that the department is doing a great job and that that I'm really impressed with all of the work that the engineering department is completing. And the meeting was adjourned at 11:41. It was a really full meeting. So last but not least, now we will have the minutes from the F&I committee meeting on May 14th. Oops, let me back up. Are there any questions to the construction minute? I don't see any, sorry. Now we will have the report from the F&I committee by Director Young.
Well, I think this report will probably be very short because almost everything F&I talked about was on the agenda today. So we met on Friday, May 14th. Director Lee and I and General Manager Warner and Finance Manager Wong. As usual, there was no general public present. We looked at, as you know, the F&I committee looks at all the checks that we write during the month, which I've always thought was rather odd, but we do it. And one of the things I asked them to list was our health premium, just so that all of you have a grasp on what it costs to run the agency. Our PERS health premium is $78,000. Tell me again, Jason, is that quarterly or monthly?
Monthly for the entire district.
Monthly. So if you multiply that times 12, you'll see why we need a lot of extra money in this district. So it's not really just paying for sewers and sewer lines, but all the administrative work that goes with it. And then we did talk about placemaking. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, at least for the last 4 or 5 months, placemaking does a lot of our community outreach. And I was struck by the amount of the payment we're making to them. So we've asked them to do an annual report to the board on our outreach efforts. And Jason said we will be doing a workshop on that later on this year. Then we reviewed our strategic plan goals report and key performance indicators. And if you look at the chart attached, you'll see that everything on that has been is in the green. So we're not behind on any of that. We have discussed item five we've already discussed and approved item five. We'll move on to item six is the East Bay MUD 2020 Commercial Consumption and Billing Report. I will leave it to you to go look at that report. If you have any questions on it, please feel free to ask. We reviewed item seven, the annual review of the contract for Myers-Nave, which we approved in the meeting a little earlier today. Under staff director comments, Jason let us know a workshop is being planned to discuss land lease issues on June 8. And that in closing, they did wish me a happy birthday. And of course, I think Patricia's birthday was recently as well. And Andrea, you have a birthday coming up on Saturday. So having got all the birthdays out of the way, that was the end of our meeting. So our meeting was the first time in a long time. It was relatively short, 10 o'clock. Thank you for the opportunity to present this report. Questions? Excellent.
Okay, seeing none. Now, can I get a motion to approve the committee minutes for entry into the district record?
I'll make the motion.
Okay. Second.
To approve the minutes for the committee meetings.
Okay, and then a second by Director Lee. Is that correct? You get that, Patricia?
Director Lee?
Question?
Hi.
Sorry.
Okay, I was just trying to follow the script. Now can we do a roll call?
Of course. Director Lee?
Aye.
Director Stelzman?
Approve.
Director Young?
Aye.
Vice President Simon?
Yes.
And President Dutcher?
Yes. Wow, we did that, huh? Now for staff and director comments, General Manager Warner.
My understanding is that the CASA board voted last week to have the summer conference in person. Historically, that's been a really good way for the board to like get together and get to know each other, and then also meet your peers in the wastewater industry, and then also learn about new things that are going on. My understanding is at that meeting, Director Duncan will be named to the executive board of CASA, which is a really great honor. So if you're interested in going, give Patricia a heads up and we can make sure that we reserve a room and then get you.
Could you mute yourself? We can't hardly hear him if you're moving around. Please mute. Continued, Jason.
The other thing is that on June 1st, we're going to have our rate hearing. And so that's a momentous time at the district that happens once every 5 years. That meeting is in the evening at 6 p.m. So kind of be ready for that. And then lastly, I think as Director Young noted, we've reserved the workshop for June 8th to discuss the land lease concept and whether we should move forward, you know, any more with those discussions or cut that opportunity off. So those are the things I have to share.
Claire, any comments?
No, happy birthday to everyone whose birthday coming up. Good to see everyone.
Any other staff have any comments? Okay, Director Lee.
Thank you. Wonderful meeting, right? A lot of great discussion, and I think we're converging, right? In the last meeting 2 weeks ago, I did share with Director President Duncan some numbers. I didn't share it with the rest of the group just to make sure that we didn't violate the Brown Act. But I did send it to General Manager Warner. If you wish to receive it, he has a copy of it. It's just that we cannot discuss it, obviously, because of Brown Act.
Okay. Director Stelzman.
Not a great number of comments. This was a very productive meeting. And I think there was some very good discussions that we had. And I look forward to hearing more about the Alameda County Special Districts Association. So, Jason, if you could forward me that contact information, I may want to attend some of these meetings in the future. Have a great week.
Director Lee, I don't keep calling you that, Simon.
No.
Sorry.
Yeah, very good meeting, good dialogue. We all have different views and opinions, and then a good board. So I'm glad that we're able to have discussions in a cordial manner. So very good. Appreciate it. I also thank the staff again, very impressed with all of your from the technical side to administrative side, financial, everything. Thank you, as well as our legal. Appreciate your support. I am interested, I'm not sure what the process is, but I am interested in learning more about the East Bay lease on our property and the history and what's going on with that well there. So I'm not sure what the process is, but I would like to get a better understanding of Orlama's involvement there. Thank you.
Director,
yeah. Oh, did you say Young? your voice cut out just a little bit. It's all right.
Director Young.
Thank you. So never mind. I did want to tell you that Stop Waste, although I'll make my report next month, I guess, or next meeting, whenever that is, Stop Waste did have a special report at its last meeting on the OMRF. For those of you who are not familiar, that's the Oakland Materials Recovery Facility. We actually, when we toured that property a year or so ago, it was not operational. But I just thought I'd let you know it is operational now. And there is a video that we watched at our meeting. But we've also been invited to come and see a personal tour. And I think Jason's aware of that. I think you'll find it quite fascinating. I don't remember the exact numbers now. I did share that with Jason. Did I tell you 100,000? Are you listening? Jason, I'm looking right at you. What was the number I said to you about how many pounds they do?
Was it 120,000?
That's per hour, right? Wasn't it 120,000? Well, whatever.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. I have the notes someplace. I'll look them up and let you know. But in any event, if you'd like to see the video, I'll be happy to forward the video to you and you can take a look-see. But we should go as a board when the time is appropriate and we can go. In a group, we should go and tour that facility because that's quite something. It's going to help us in our removal of contaminated properties or contaminated waste cans. Anyway, that's something I wanted to report to you. The other thing for those of you who care about the ACSDA special districts, we have obviously been meeting by Zoom for the last year. And we missed our 20th anniversary event. So in July, we're going to do a joint meeting with Contra Costa Special Districts. And I'm not sure where it's going to be yet, but you might want to put it on your calendar, July 12. And I believe that Alameda, our group, will provide a box lunch. It will be in person. And it should be quite interesting. So we'll see. We're not sure where we're going, but I'll keep you in touch, but you might mark it on your calendar. That's all I have to report. Thank you.
Thank you. Benny, thank you for Director Lee, for all of the financial information that you've sent me. It was very informative. We had our financial committee meeting for EBITDA today, and I shared the information with them. And Jackie may be reaching out to you, and she wanted me to make sure that I share with you that the jury's still out on whether or not we will be moving the funds to Wells Fargo. But looking at some of the community banks, particularly Fremont community, well, they didn't have the funds that we would need to transfer. But there's also other members on the EBITDA, other commissioners who are just as passionate about you removing our funds from Wells Fargo. So it's still an active action, okay? But I am sharing that information with the chair and with Jackie. So they were really open to it. And I also wanted to just to say to the staff, thank you as always for a wonderful job. And I'm really enjoying being on the construction committee to see the scope of work that our engineers and managers are completing. And the same with the operations, I'm always impressed. And it's always wonderful to interact with the administrative staff. The other thing that I want you guys to be thinking about is that as the state opens up, you know, what about our meetings? Are we going to start meeting in real time, face-to-face? Are we gonna have a hybrid, you know, part of the meetings to continue using a Zoom, or will we be meeting face-to-face? I know the Board of Supervisors have been meeting in their chambers, at least as far as I know, the past 2 or 3 months. So just something for you guys to be thinking about. And Jason will, I guess, decide when to put it on agenda for a vote. Other than that, that's all. And I will not forget this time, Sheila. The meeting is officially adjourned. Okay, so be it.